Now I'm going to be reading verses 22 through 28. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Peter says this, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord who always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence." Before we begin, let's just take this time to seek the Lord in prayer and just praise our risen Savior. Lord Jesus, we celebrate you today. We thank you that you are risen indeed. And we thank you that your power is manifested in us. Lord, that your grace is known to us, Lord, through the cross and through your resurrection. Lord, today, I pray that you would minister to each person wherever we're at. Lord, that you would touch each life. And I pray today that each person would know the hope of your resurrection life. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have, even in troubled times. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, years ago, there was a small town in Maine that was a proposed site for a great hydroelectric plant. And a dam would be built across the river, and the town would essentially be submerged. And when the project was announced, the people were given many months to arrange their affairs and to relocate and to move out of town. And during those months, a curious thing happened. All improvements in the town ceased. No painting was done, no repairs were made to the buildings or the roads or the sidewalks. Day by day, the town got shabbier and shabbier. And a long time, you could say, before the waters actually came, the town looked uncared for and abandoned. Before some of the people had actually moved away. One citizen explained it this way. He said, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present." And you could say that town was cursed with hopelessness because it had no future. You know, friends, there is no worse death than the end of hope. John Duplessis said it this way. He said, "If you destroyed a man's hope, you destroy the man." And, you know, during this time when we're going through this season of uncertainty in this country, in our state, and across the world, there are a lot of people that are desperate for hope in their lives. Maybe because of an economic downturn in their life, maybe because of a physical challenge, or maybe they've actually gotten the virus. All of us are affected in one way or another. And there's a lot of people that are down and discouraged and even depressed. What this world desperately needs is hope. And we find, because of Easter, the hope of Jesus Christ. Well, you might ask, well, what is hope? You know, is hope wishful thinking, kind of hoping and wishing upon a star? No, that's not what hope, according to the Bible, is at all. Hope really is a firm assurance regarding things that are uncertain or unknown to us. It's interesting, the Bible, the Greek word elpiza, means to anticipate with confident expectation. That there's a confidence that we have in expecting God to do something great. What is the basis of our hope as Christians? Well, according to this passage that we read here a moment ago, as I said, Peter is speaking to these crowds in Jerusalem, and he's explaining to them in his sermon the story of Jesus. He's telling them the story. Most of them, we assume, were Jewish people. And he's explaining to them the meaning of Jesus' death. He makes very clear that Jesus did mighty works among them, and many of them could remember the miracles that Jesus performed. Peter also explained that they had actually delivered Jesus up to be crucified. But this was according to the plan and the purpose of God all along. But it's interesting, he makes a very pointed statement. He said, "You crucified him." Can you imagine if you were in that crowd and Peter said this to you, that you crucified this innocent man? That would be a devastating thing to hear, because it is the truth. But it's interesting, he says in verse 24, "God raised Jesus up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." So Jesus was raised from the dead. The pangs of death were loosened. Why? Because it was impossible for the grave to hold the very author of life himself. It's interesting that Peter quotes David in Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. I want to look once again at verse 26. He says, "Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, and my flesh will dwell in hope." What Peter is doing is reminding them, because of what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection power that happened through the Holy Spirit, that they now could have hope if they would repent and believe. You know, Clay House family, the basis of our hope as Christians is the resurrection of Jesus. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why in times of sorrow and times of difficulty that we can have a joy deep in our soul despite the things that are going around us, despite the pain that we are experiencing, we can have that hope through Jesus Christ. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, we can't take really anything he said seriously. In essence, Jesus would be a liar, because he predicted and told his disciples that he would rise from the grave on the third day. You know, if Jesus hadn't risen from the grave, we would be lost in our sins and be damned for all of eternity. You know, we can, as Christians, anticipate with confident expectation that we have eternal life because of Easter, because Jesus has risen indeed. What kind of hope do we have as Christians? Well, first of all, we have a hope that can endure even when we suffer, even when we have problems. You know, the Bible doesn't promise us that we will have a pain-free life. The Bible does not promise us that everything will be a walk in the park and that we won't have problems or challenges. Jesus makes it very clear in the scriptures that we would have challenges, and that if we were a follower of him, that perhaps there would be even extra challenges as the culture around us is opposed to the things of God. But because we have the hope of Easter, we can endure any challenge that life throws at us. I want to read to us a passage of scripture found in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Listen to what Paul says. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice also in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and that hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." What a wonderful promise and a passage of scripture that we can enjoy together because of all the sufferings that we're enduring, perhaps even now. We can rest assured that we have a hope, and that hope will not be put to shame. We have the joy of knowing this resurrection power and resurrection in our lives. Yes, we still have pain, but we must accept, you could say, finite disappointment, even though we'll never lose infinite hope. And the Christian has infinite hope in the midst of temporal suffering. And so we can rest in that even today. Another thing we have to remember as Christians of why Easter is such an important thing and why we have hope is because hope goes beyond the grave. I want to invite you once again, if you're tuning in, you're seeing some of these scriptures on the screen, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to read two verses here, verses 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." What a wonderful promise. Many of us have family members or friends or loved ones that have died already but have loved Jesus. And we have that blessed hope of seeing them one day. Why? Because of Easter. Because Jesus conquered the grave, and that resurrection life will one day raise us from the grave as well. You know, when we grieve over the death of a Christian, there is hope. Yes, there are tears, but we have at the very bottom of everything, a deep down hope of knowing that we will see them again. So the death of a non-Christian, you could say, is actually quite tragic because there is no hope. They are resurrected not unto life, but unto judgment. And this is why the cross and the gospel is so critically important to understand. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, "I never wish again to stand by the deathbed of one who dies in his sins. This is a dreadful woe indeed." You know, non-Christians really do not have real hope. All they have, really, you could say, is wishful thinking. There's no real hope of eternity with God. They essentially say, "Well, I hope that God will let me in," kind of a wishful thought. Maybe God will sort of shoehorn me in based on something that I've done. But that's not the basis of any real hope. It's no wonder today why so many are depressed and driven to despair today. Despair is really the result of slamming the door on the face of God and rejecting his will and way for our lives. Hell is really, in essence, hopelessness. It's no accident that above the entrance to Dante's hell is the inscription, "Leave behind all hope, you who enter here." You know, there's a story of a great evangelist by the name of H.A. Ironside, and he was preaching once on a busy street in a northeastern city when a well-dressed man walked up and began to ridicule and to jeer him. And Ironside recognized this heckler as a university professor and a well-known vocal atheist. This professor was full of bitterness and anger against all religion, but especially against Christianity. As Ironside tried to continue his message, the man began to shout objections even louder. And he criticized the Bible and labeled Christians as ignorant fools. And he loudly proclaimed, "There is no God. Jesus is a myth." And at first, Ironside tried to ignore the man, but the professor grew more and more belligerent, taunting Ironside and to respond to his intellectual arguments. And finally, the man shouted, "I challenge you to a debate. Are you afraid to debate me?" And Ironside knew that an intellectual debate with this man would actually accomplish nothing, but he also knew that he had to respond to this man's attack. And so he said, "I accept your challenge, sir, but on one condition. When you come to the debate, I ask that you would bring 10 men and women whose lives have been changed for the better by the message of atheism. Bring some alcoholics and drug addicts who have been set free by atheism's power. Bring former prostitutes and criminals whose lives have been changed, who are now moral and responsible individuals. Bring outcasts who have had no hope and tell them that how to becoming an atheist has actually lifted them out of the pit." And Sir Ironside concluded, "If you can find 10 such men and women, I would be happy to debate you. And when I come, I would gladly bring with me more than 200 men and women from this very city whose lives have been transformed in just those ways by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, as the professor heard Ironside's challenge, he stopped his jeering. He turned and he walked away without saying a word. He knew, for all his pretense about the atheism and the intellectual arguments that he tried to give, that atheism had no power to change lives. Why? Because it was hopeless. Friends, without hope, life loses its meaning. Interesting what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. He reveals that non-Christians are alienated from the life of God and strangers to his covenantal promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But friends, because of Easter, we as Christians have real hope. Amidst the uncertainties of this world, amidst all the global and economic disasters that are going on, amidst all the sickness and the suffering and even death, we have hope through Jesus' blood and his death and his resurrection. You know, the hymn writer William Bradbury wrote, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." You know, we as Christians have hope even in pain, even in suffering, and even in death, because Jesus both suffered and died, and he redeemed them both. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that can identify with us even in our suffering. He doesn't stand above us and look down and say, "I wonder what they're experiencing." No, he stepped into our world, into our mess, into our pain, and he redeemed it through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can identify with real suffering because he suffered for us. Gilbert Beacon said, "Other people see only a hopeless end, but the Christian rejoices in an endless hope." And that is what we have, saints, as followers of Jesus Christ. And because we have hope through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible tells us several things. First of all, that we can have victory over any difficult circumstance. We can have victory over any difficult circumstance. Now, this is not to minimize the difficulties or the pain that we experience, but we do want to emphasize, as Scripture does, the victory that we have through Jesus. Listen to what Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 39 says here. Romans 8, 34. "Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And as it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah to that. The only way to remove fear from our lives is to listen to God's assurance to us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That no matter what we go through, we have the blessed hope because of Jesus, the fact that he has risen from the grave because of Easter. So we have hope, first of all, because we can have victory over every difficult circumstance. The second reason why we have hope through the death and resurrection of Jesus is we can persevere even in the midst of pain. We can persevere even in the midst of pain. James says it this way in James 5, 7, and 8. He said, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains, you also be patient. You know, one of the things that I've discovered about how God works with his people and among his creation is that sometimes God is willing to inflict great pain in order to prevent astronomical pain. Let me say it that way. God is willing to inflict great pain at times to prevent astronomical pain. This is what you would call redemptive pain, that God can redeem our suffering, that God will use everything for his glory. Now, we may not be able to understand really and comprehend right now why certain things happen in our lives, but we have to trust God in those seasons of great pain. But we can persevere because of the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even when God seems distant, we have to recognize that even on cloudy days and we cannot see the sunshine, we have to trust that the sun is still shining brightly. And friends, because of Easter, because of the cross, because of what Jesus did in rising from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can persevere under trial. The third thing I want to leave you with, because of the hope of Easter, we can look forward to an eternity with God. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, "Hope means a continual looking forward to the eternal world. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this." Listen to what he says here. "Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither." You know, we need to think about eternity. Life is but a breath. You know, if you go to any cemetery and you see a gravestone, you see a dash that's between the birth date and the death date. And for some, it's very short amount of years that people live. For others, it is a longer amount of years. But however long God gives each of us, we need to make sure that we invest our lives into things that are eternal and be able to advance the kingdom of God and share the blessed hope that we have through Jesus Christ because of Easter. Friends, we need to be thinking about the eternal and not just the temporal. You know, I love springtime. It seems like here in Colorado, you had days that are sunny and shiny and bright and warm, and then other days that get cold and blustery and snowy. But, you know, after a long winter, you're just so ready for warm weather. I know I am. But just as spring is coming, so is heaven for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. There will be an end to all suffering. There will be an end to all tears and death. But the question I have for you is, do you have this hope today? Not just in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, and we need certainly hope and encouragement during these days, but I'm talking about an eternal hope with God that can give us the basis of hope amidst any season of our lives. And if you're not a Christian here today, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, what can you do? Well, I think you need to see several things about who God is. First of all, you need to see that God is perfect, that he is holy, and that he is completely good and righteous in all of his ways. We must see the holiness of God. You must see it. I want to encourage you also to see, by the power of the Holy Spirit, your own dreadfulness of sin. We have to recognize that we are sinners, that we are, as human beings, are not essentially good, that hell is the default of every human being, not heaven, because of our sin. And because of that, we are depraved and we are sinful. We need to see the holiness of God, but the sinfulness of ourselves. And finally, we must see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve, and grace is getting something you don't deserve. I want to say that we, as human beings, are in desperate need of both God's grace and mercy. We have to recognize that there's nothing that we could ever do to earn our salvation. It was provided for through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, but he conquered the grave. The cross is not the end of the story. I want to encourage you to look back to Acts chapter 2, where Peter's continuing his sermon to the crowds there in Jerusalem as he's preaching to the Jews. Listen to what he says in verses 37 and 38. He says, "Now when they heard this," the crowds did, "they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.'" Peter was telling the crowds there in Jerusalem when they first heard the news that they were the ones that were guilty of crucifying Jesus. You can say, in essence, all of us, because of our sin, put Jesus there. We weren't the ones to physically pound the nails into the cross, but it was our sin that put Jesus there. He died in our stead. But Peter tells his crowd and the audience there, and I would likewise remind you here today, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, to repent, to turn away from your sin, to acknowledge that you cannot please God on your own, but to confess your sin before God, not to minimize it or excuse it, but to confess it before him, and then to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a confidence in his grace in your lives, that he paid the penalty for your sin. And finally, what Peter reminds the crowds here, if they've never repented or if they're doing that for the first time, to be baptized, to make a public declaration that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, today, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to pray along with me. But this is not just something that you do privately. This is something that God intends for you to make public. And baptism is just one expression of this. But that you would live out your faith publicly before others. And frankly, if you've received this hope in your own life, that you want to share this hope with others. And especially during this season right now of great challenge in our land, people need to see hope and they need to receive real hope. And that is something we as Christians have to offer because of Jesus. You know, friends, we could possibly live 40 days without food. We could live maybe 3 days without water. You could maybe even live about 8 minutes without air. But you can't live 1 second without hope. Do you have this hope in Jesus Christ? Easter is the basis of our hope as Christians, as we call upon him. I'm so thankful that heaven is not on lockdown, that you can come to Jesus at any time, that you can confess your sins no matter how terrible they are, and every sin is terrible if you think of it. You can confess them before God, and if you confess your sins before God, God is faithful and just to forgive. You know, this Easter, as we're huddled up in our homes, we're self-quarantined, but we have to remember that Jesus self-quarantined for 3 days. But I'm so thankful that he came out of that grave. He came out of the tomb and he rose again and he is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to just finish with this last scripture in Romans chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. It says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." You know, as the worship team comes forward, I would like to pray with you. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never repented or turned away from your sins, and you would like to place your faith in Jesus Christ, I invite you to join in prayer with me. Now, this prayer is not kind of a repetitive words where it's just kind of a magic prayer. You say it and you're a Christian, but you need to believe it in your heart. You need to agree with it in your own spirit that you want to follow Jesus. And it's that kind of heart that God is looking for. Not just simply the reciting words, but it's believing in your heart. So if that's your desire today, will you join with me in prayer as we pray together? Lord Jesus, I can come to you today and I confess my sin. I confess that I have failed you, God, in so many ways. and I ask that you would save me from my sin. I repent and turn away from it, and I lean into Jesus today. I ask that Jesus would come and indwell me by his Holy Spirit. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you every day. And I don't want this just to be a private thing. I want to be public about it. I want to have this hope. I want to have this hope, Jesus. And Father, I thank you right now for those that are praying right now with me. And I pray even now that you would fill your folks, your saints, your people with hope. The hope of the resurrection today. We thank you and we praise you for this living hope we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.